Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Desperate House Witches. I am your host, Raina Starr. How nice to see you all. I had a little bit of a break. It was unintentional, but shit happens, as you know. Oops, I cursed before giving my disclaimer. Desperate House Witches is not a GPG or even an R-rated show, so if bad language, bodily function, dirty talk of any kind might upset you, this is not the show for you. But you know you tuned in for that very reason. Desperate House Witches is brought to you by the incredibly wicked one herself, the amazing Dorothy Morrison. Please check out www.wickedwitchstudio.com for all of your witching needs. There will be an update soon about the specials for September and October, so stay tuned for that. Again, missed you guys terribly. I'm so happy to be back. I've been so lonely. Anyway, tonight's guest is my friend, the amazing author, Michael Herkus, Astrology for Witches, The Glam Witch, The Complete Book of Moon Spells for Beginners, I mean, an endless font of wisdom, one of the most glamorous icons I know personally. I'm so lucky to know you. And say hello, everyone, to Michael Herkus. Hello, my darling.
Hello, love. I'm so happy to be back on. It's always a pleasure chatting with you.
Oh, yes, indeed. I have missed you. Michael's episode got rescheduled because of we both had things going on, honey. I'm still dealing with an eye issue, but I've determined not to let that get me down. Oh, yeah. I've been in and out of the doctor for the past month and a half. Apparently, I scratched a cornea. Don't know how it happened. Doctor swears I'm getting better. Yeah, he swears I'm getting better, but I can't fucking see. It's a little annoying, but the vision is better. He did test it, and I can see more than I could before. It's just, you know, your eyes are so precious. Please take care of them. Don't fall asleep in makeup, please. I think I got moisturizer or something in my eye. It could have been an eyelash. I could have been rubbing in my sleep. Just really make sure you get that makeup off at night. I wish I had listened to that advice as a youngster. But, yes, your eyes, man, if you hurt an eye, it takes a long time to heal. That shit is ultra, ultra sensitive. So please, everybody, take care of yourselves and be careful with your eyes. Okay, that's enough of that. So, beloved, you've done it again. This book about astrology, honey, I gotta tell you, I've read astrology books. All right, so I have been a practicing witch for over 40 years. I think everybody who listens to the show knows that, but if you're new, now you know. Astrology was never something that really floated my boat in that regard. I never really incorporated it into my magic. I never really paid attention to it like that. I know a lot of practitioners like us don't actually incorporate a lot of astrology. And I have to be honest with you, it's not because I'm a stupid person. I'm actually a very well-educated person. However, the trines and the sextiles and this and that, and I'm like, oh, honey, you're over my head and I don't give a shit anymore. This book makes it so much easier. I have to tell you, this book is wonderful. I love this book. There's not a whole lot of writers. I can name them on one hand that write in a style that everyone can understand, and you don't need a master's degree to get it. And you are one of them.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Yeah.
It's with you.
And
you're like the fifth person in the last week that's mentioned that to me. And so I love that, and I'm happy that that is the case. I have always kind of – it's so funny that I've written so many books because I struggle reading. And I was a very slow reader when I started reading in school. And part of it is because
really?
I just can't deal with dry reading. Like, I need it to be personable. I need it to sound like a conversation in order for me to write. So my favorite writers, wrote like that. And I took that on myself, too. It's always been my goal to translate that in my style of writing so that it's personable, it's exciting. You can get something out of it, and it's not just really bone dry. That's why I can say it.
Yeah,
so,
I will...
And astrology, sadly, is one of those subjects that, because it is so dense, I mean, you can study it your entire life and still not know a thing. There's just so much to it. And unfortunately, there's just a lot of dry written books on it. And, even with me, I didn't really incorporate much astrology into my practice until I went to an astrologer back in, I want to say, 2017. And it was from having my natal chart read that this astrologer, she was able to really translate what it means. And I finally picked it up. I understood it enough to then pick up a book and understand it a little bit more. So it was a really good initiation into it. And ever since I started really incorporating astrology into my spellcraft and magical practice, it's only really magnified everything. And I was just always a part of the pop astrology world where we know our sun sign and that's about it. But I know now it's funny whenever you get witches together, you talk about your big three, your sun, your moon, and your rising. And everyone does their comparison. And so I love that. And I joke about that too in the introduction of the book. But I really wanted to create something that was more of an introduction to astrology, but from a witchcraft perspective. Like, this isn't an astrologer's book on astrology. It's written with the mindset of a witch, a practicing witch, who wants to put astrology into their practice. And not necessarily just astrology, but also planetary magic. Because the book is really split up into two parts. Part one explains astrology, what it is, all of the different signs, houses, as you said before, the sextiles, the trines, all of those different things, how you actually find your chart, how you can start to interpret it. And then part two, every single planet has a chapter that incorporates not only a meditation and several spells that align with the planet itself, but also transits and how you can work with transits. Because, and for those that don't know what that is, basically all of the planets are moving. We're all in orbit around the sun. So as it moves through different constellation points, different zodiac signs and things along those lines. It moves through different houses. And once you kind of have an understanding as to, what those houses are, what the signs are, we hear, on a monthly basis, ooh, it's the full moon in Leo, or ooh, it's the new moon in Virgo, something along those lines. I basically put together a small chart for everyone who wants to create their own spells to kind of understand the themes of what to do when that planet is transiting through the different aspects of astrology.
It's beautiful, and it makes it so, one of the things I love is that you cut it down into bite-sized pieces for me to understand. I don't have to have studied it for 20 years to get a grasp of what you're saying. So for anyone who has struggled with understanding the basics of, well, it's not even the basics. It's more than just knowing, well, Libras are known for this and Aries are known for that. It's a bit more in depth, but it doesn't hammer you over the head with having to know everything. And you break it down really beautifully, and you give, so one of my favorite things about this book is where you break it down house or sign, mundane themes, magical recommendations, transit magic for the moon. I mean, it's like one of my, it's only a few pages, but it's one of my favorite things in the entire book, because it cuts to the heart of stuff nice and fast. What do you need to know, kiddo?
Yes.
What are you trying to accomplish?
What's a brief little thing? And again, those are just brief little stuff. too. There, you can go more in depth, and there's definitely more to it, but I wanted to give the most important, or at least what I found was the most important part of what that transit is. But yeah, mm-hmm. in all of my books, and I'm sure you know this at this point, I always talk about, you know, I kind of make the pun that practical magic. You know, you have to act practically while acting magically. You have to have an understanding of how things work on a practical level, the day to day, in order to do things magically, if that makes sense. So yep. you have to know.
Absolutely.
I don't know, if you're doing, again, like I always go back to like love spells. It's like you can do as many love spells if you want, but if you're not putting yourself out there to meet people, you're not gonna get it. You could do enough jobs to find a new job, but if you're not actively applying to jobs, you're not going to get one. So you have to do the work in the physical world as much as you do things in the magical world.
Right. I mean, and it's, but this also helps in the regard of, you know, there are certain houses or signs that are more conducive to certain outcomes. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Like when you think of love, you would think of Libra, Venus, and all of that, right?
Exactly. You would think of, if you wanted to do love stuff, you would think Taurus or Libra. Taurus is connected to the second house of resources, and Libra is connected to the eighth house of partnership. I mean, that's one of the ways that you can kind of look at it and overlap. So if Venus was moving through Taurus or Libra, perfect time to do love spells. If the moon, for example, was in a Libra, perfect time to do love spells. So it's another layer. You know, we have all of these different energy sources that we work with as witches. We have our crystals, we have our herbs, we have all of those different things, but we also have timing and the cosmos. So, you know, and even from a very, very generic standpoint, I think most witches know that, you know, Monday is ruled by the moon, Tuesday's Mars, Wednesday's, Mercury, Thursday is Jupiter, Friday's Venus, so on and so forth. So it's a lot of times people will work, you know, that specific magic that aligns with that planet on that day, but then you also have planetary hours. So it's like if you were going to do a heavy-duty love spell, for example, I would say, okay, I'm going to do it on a Friday during the planetary hour of Venus, during a time when the planet Venus or even the moon, because the moon represents your emotions, were in some kind of a house or sign that had to do with love. Or at least wasn't mm-hmm. opposed to it, because there is oppositions in astrology as well, and even squares. And oppositions and squares are kind of like the negative aspect of it. It kind of creates a tension in situations. So you'd probably like want to avoid doing things on those times. But you can always there's always workarounds to things too. But it makes it easier mm-hmm. when you have knowledge of all of these different things, and you can line up all of the corresponding things all at once.
Right, and you've made it so easy. It's almost as, and I'm not saying it's basic because it's not. It's scientific. It's important. It's good to know. It's certainly beneficial. But your book makes it as easy as knowing that when the moon is waxing, you know, you're bringing things in, and when it's waning, you're sending things out. I mean, you've really made it.
Mm-hmm.
You've made it a lot easier to understand and a lot easier to follow in the same vein. I'm just saying you've cut it down so that, again, I don't need a master's degree to be able to incorporate it into my magic now, because this book makes it very cut to the chase. Let's see, what are you trying to do? Let's get this done. Oh, it's this time, this month, and at this time. Okay, mm-hmm. so maybe instead of trying to bring something to you, you're trying to send away the things that are blocking it. You're trying to get rid of the negativity. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for
this. Well, and even this.
And I sound.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
And even just now.
I know I sound like a. Oh, you go ahead. I'm sorry. I get so excited to talk to you.
No, do your thing.
I was just
going to
say, your books all, and I sound like a broken record, and I know that is the case when I talk to you, because your books are that good, and I just want folks
to
know that. So if anybody hasn't read anything by Michael Hercus, I promise you, you will love and enjoy these books, because I've read all of them so far, and they're all fantastic. And
well, thank you. Well,
absolutely.
It's funny. I mean, there's multiple tangents I want to jump off of that. And the first one is, you know, even, for example, you know, I've been dealing with a personal situation, and it's a negative one. And unfortunately, sometimes we deal with negative stuff. And, you know, once things reach a certain point where you've done everything in the practical world, you kind of have to get ugly. You got to get nasty, and you got to do some magic to kind of protect yourself and throw some shit back at the person that threw some shit at you. And I did something recently, too, and I have a good friend here in Chicago who's an astrologer, more of an astrologer than a witch, but, you know, considers himself a witch, too. And we picked the perfect day where the perfect alignment was happening and the perfect time to send out some really nasty karmic stuff. So, I mean, it's astrology is, and then, you know, it happened, you know, here I am 2 weeks later and some stuff went down this week and I got the justice that I needed. It's perfect.
Right.
So I love working with astrology and you know, also to piggyback, and thank you always, flattery gets you everywhere, talking about my books. I really appreciate it. And I think at the same time, too, if we look at the fact that, you know, I really started writing back in 2017 and with Which Way Magazine, and in 2019 my first book came out, and here I am. I even lose count at this point. I want to say it's 6 books in print. Now I have a 7th one coming out in December and an 8th in April, and it's an honor to see when and also just shout out to anybody that is reading my book. If you like them, even if you don't like them, if you want to write a fair review on Amazon or Goodreads or Barnes & Noble, it's really helpful to us as authors, because that helps, you know, other readers know, hey, this is good and this is what I liked about it, or, ooh, maybe I didn't like it. You know, I'm not against criticism. I think it's helpful to take some of that in sometimes, too, so you can get better, and it helps me know what I can do better in the next book. But all of that being said and done, I mean, looking at the number of reviews that I have on Amazon, I mean, it's in the hundreds at this point, thousands if you combine everything together. And I'm just so honored to be sharing, you know, what I know with the new generation of witches that are out here right now, and to help be a teacher and a guider for all that they're doing, for all the seekers in the world right now. So I'm very honored by it, and I love it. So.
Well, I think
I'm not going anywhere.
But don't discount your older fans too, because, you know, I mean I've been practicing longer than you've been alive, honey, and I learn stuff from you all the time. So, you know,
well,
it's not just
too,
for the younger
folks.
I love
it.
For everybody.
I mean, I've been practicing over 20 years at this point, and I love when I learn something new from somebody. So, and that's something that, you know, I think it's even goes beyond just witchcraft. It's just life in general. It's kind of when the mentee becomes the mentor to someone who taught them something along the way. I mean, that's happened with individuals that I absolutely loved and adored growing up, and you know, took their word and their magic to heart and incorporated into my practice. And now I'm over here teaching them things. So it's just really wonderful. And, you know, if we comes back to the kind of idea that witchcraft is all about continuous change, and things are always changing, and we need to be open to these changes and learning them and paying attention to the signs and synchronicities and lessons that are being shared with us. I mean, I always think it's interesting when I learn something new magically, and it always comes out of the blue, and then the next week something comes up where I have to use that. And so I love it. I love how information is kind of, I'm guided to information, and then I can use it practically and magically in my practice.
I agree. I mean, I think the whole gatekeeping thing and things have to stay the same really pisses me off, because if I had to be the same person that I was 40 years ago, honey, I would have no fucking friends. I would be sitting in that goddamn corner right now, boo-hooing, because
well,
I can't get a date and I'm so lonely.
I like what you just I don't know, I want to talk about real quick. You just mentioned gatekeeping. And I think, you know, especially when I first got on the, you know, involved in being an author and There was a lot more gatekeeping than I'm seeing now. And I think, you know, I don't think it's ever going to go away, but I'm not seeing it as much as I did back then in 2017. I don't know if we all became humble during COVID or I think, you know, TikTok blew up and now there's witch talk and people are seeing all of the ridiculousness that's out there. So they're changing their ways. You know, it could be that too, but I'm happy that I'm not seeing as much gatekeeping as I did. It's sad when that happens.
Well,
it's sad when you see it.
It is. And, you know, unfortunately, Gardnerians seem to be late to the fucking party on that as far as the older folks trying to hang on. Recently there's been stuff about a group having some very unsavory ideas and, you know, even trying to separate Gardnerians from each other is just pathetic. It's like, you know what, I'm an adult. I know who's an asshole. And I merely avoid those fucking people because they're assholes. I believe in change. I believe in growth. Again, I wouldn't want to be me 40 years ago. I wouldn't want my witchcraft to be me 40 years ago either. You got to learn. You got to grow up. You got to move with things. You got to learn from people.
And you also have to learn where, not only where to put your energy, when to put your energy in, and when to care. I mean, I think I look back and I remember when I first came out with my first book and I was so sensitive to criticism and critiques and, ooh, this person doesn't like me, or I heard this gossip about me, or this author is talking shit about me, or, you know, something left, right, and center. And I just don't care anymore. I don't tune in. I stopped following the individuals that were nasty and rude. I stopped putting my energy into them. And I love that, you know, in doing so, the negativity went away. So I think that's an important lesson too. I mean, we all have the ability to disengage with certain situations, individuals and things. And when you have that option, you really take back control. You take control of the narrative and you relinquish whatever power somebody has on you. So I really don't care. You don't see me in battles online or silly little things. I definitely see them sometimes, and I'll sit there with my popcorn and watch it unload. But it's just not worth my time or energy. I mean, I have a full-time job outside of, you know, my witch world. I on top of maintaining a social life, friendships, all these different things, I don't care and have the time to deal with internet witch world drama. It's just not something I personally care to be in. And I remember there was a part where I really was at one point, and it just really got to be overwhelming. And I remember thinking to myself every night, like, I'm going to kill the glam witch. Like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And I realized, you know, that in doing that, I would be hurting the people that really need my, my lessons and my voice in the community right now. And I thought to myself, why am I letting these assholes, you know, dictate what I'm doing? So I found a way to stop. I found a way to stop.
Well,
caring.
I've told you how
wonderful.
Much you've inspired me. I mean, you know, your sense of, it's not just about fashion. It's about the sense of self and the pride you should always have in yourself just for being here, just for being a human that has survived. I think it's so much more valuable than people give it credit for. And you've always, I mean, I've told you a million times you're an icon to me. You're a fashion icon. You're a personal
fashion
hero.
Icon.
Yes,
you.
Baby.
I mean,
I've told
you
that
icon
before.
In my own mind.
No, you are to me too. No. You made
well,
me
thank
brave.
You.
I have bought clothes that I would not have bought because of you. Yes, honey.
I
it's
love
true.
It. You have to send me pictures.
Yeah.
I want to see. I need to see.
I will.
But that also
I will.
Brings
I
up
have,
a good
I have,
point.
Okay.
I'll share something else. It's a personal experience that just kind of went down, and I have to be mindful of what I kind of say publicly. But, I was experiencing some harassment and some horrible situations in my personal day job situation. And it was really, really rough. And I had a moment where I thought I could either shut up and not say anything and try to disengage, or I could stand up for myself and be brave and and do what needed to be done in order to protect myself and my energy. And it's always weird, especially, you know, a couple minutes ago I said, you know, try to disengage as best as you can. There reaches a certain point where you just can't anymore. And so I went, I tried to go through the proper channels to get things corrected, and it didn't happen. I inevitably left my job 2 days ago. So, I'm not looking back on that because it was, to be honest, one of the best decisions of my life. But when I was telling people that I was leaving, I was so shocked at the amount of people that were saddened that I was leaving. And it wasn't just the quality of the work that I had done, but just that I was always the helpful one, that I was always the one that would be there to assist and really carry a lot of the department. And it's just really unfortunate that certain people are so power hungry and in control and can't see the actions that they're doing. And at the same time cry that they don't want to be in a toxic environment, but be the ones that are creating it. And I just see so much overlap with that and the witch world. But that's kind of something that was going on. And I wanted to bring it up too, because, you know, in the process of leaving and trying to find a new job, you know, new jobs do background checks, and the one came back and some negative stuff came up on social media because of an imposter account that was created. And we know at this point, I think this is like the third time I've been on your show now talking about imposter accounts, but they've just been going crazy, wildfire in the spiritual and witchcraft community. And Instagram doesn't care. Facebook doesn't care. They're together and combined. You know, it takes, you know, you have to be, literally be a celebrity on TV in order to get a blue verification mark. And people, I think, don't really take it seriously when there's the imposters. I remember I was one of the very first ones that got hit with it, as hard as it was. And everyone was just, oh, take it as a compliment, take it as a compliment. And, you know, on one hand, you could look at it that way, but it is really detrimental when someone is stealing your photos, presenting themselves as you behind closed doors, trying to sell services to individuals and hurt your followers in the process, starting to have people not like you because they think you stole money from them. I mean, it's a big issue. And now the next level of it all, where I potentially have a red check mark on my background check because there's too many accounts that are out there of me. That was the thing. I had too many accounts that were out there. And what kind of red flag does that show, you know, to a corporation that's trying to bring somebody in? So it's detrimental on so many levels, and no one is taking it seriously. And now we have, you know, some authors who are just doing a mass unfollow, so they don't follow anybody anymore. And that's one way of tricking the imposters, because it makes them look less appealing. And do I really want to go down that road and do that? I've stopped using hashtags in my posts because I noticed when I used hashtags that I had more imposters that were coming out, which sucks though, because when I don't use hashtags, I don't get as many likes on my posts. People don't see it. It doesn't generate into their pages. So it's just like, I don't know what social media is coming to anymore. And as authors, or even not only just authors, but, you know, other people who are selling services in the magical community, what we can do, what is the next step? I mean, I think at this point we all just want to delete all of our accounts, but it's, again, we can't do that. And I thought too, I mean, some people have said, well, why don't you just make your accounts private? And we can't, because when you have a business profile, it gives you statistics. And from an author standpoint, publishers want to see those statistics, so we know who your brand is, you know, gender specifics, age limits, all these different things. So we need that information. And also, I think about it, if you Google any of us, all of our pictures and stuff come up. So it's not really going to stop someone from going out and finding a photo of us and creating a profile. And it's it just is kind of, I call it new life. It's just kind of like life post COVID. Now it's life post imposters for me. So I try not to really go looking for it as much anymore. But I thought it was something that, because it was something that came up this week, I wanted to take a moment to address it and just kind of remind everybody to be, try to use your best judgment and try to use as much smarts as you can when it comes to getting a message from someone that is an author or, you know, what I see with all of these imposter accounts usually have anywhere between 40 and 20 photos on it. And you can see that they were all uploaded the same day. Go to my website, go to your author's websites, because nine out of 10 of us will have a link to our social media accounts so you can verify who is correct and who's not. Also, none of us are
Absolutely.
Going into your personal mailboxes to try to sell you any of our services. It's just not genuine. So I'll shut up about it now. I've been babbling on enough. I need a glass of water.
Now, to be honest with you, it's a really important thing. And I think, you know, people who are genuine, who actually sell services, do not go into, they don't slide into your DMs and solicit you that way. And if you're accepting anything like that, you have to question the source, because reputable people will not do that. Reputable people don't need to do that. Reputable people, you go to them for services. When I'm looking for a reader, honey, if somebody slides up in my DMs, bitch, get the fuck out of here. I didn't ask for you. No. Unless I did ask for you. Now, if I did ask for your ass, that's something else. But I can still verify if you're real or not. Trust me. Trust and believe.
Yeah.
Because everybody I deal with does have either a personal email that I contact them through. 9 times out of 10,
mm-hmm.
that's how I contact everyone, is through their email.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that's
mm-hmm.
genuinely them. You know, I mean, so use discretion when somebody slides up into your DMs and tries to hit you up to sell you something. I wouldn't buy a car that way. I wouldn't buy a reading that way. So word of
wisdom,
folks.
I love that you said that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that when I
Go
talk
ahead.
About it with people. I'm like, if
That's
you don't,
right.
buy, yeah, don't buy a car that way, don't buy a reading that way.
Seriously. It's true. I mean, no. Listen, I say that this is the same thing I say about answering my phone. I don't open my door if I don't know it's you, who it is, and I don't answer my phone if I don't know who it is. It's the same principle.
Exactly.
Because people
I'm at the point too.
People will sell you shit all day. Come on.
Well,
now.
It is unfortunate. I mean, and I haven't publicly said this, but I guess I will too. Like, I don't read messages from people unless I know them. Too at this point. So if you are sending me a message and I'm not connected to you, I'm not reading your message 9 times out of 10. I really don't. And I don't have to go through them. Between people who are harassing me, saying some bullshit, between people sending me inappropriate naked photos, between all of the different things, I just don't have time for it anymore. So, and that was one of the wonderful things when I realized to just stop. Like, I don't have to read every message. I don't have to read every review. I don't have to engage in people's conversations that are negative about me. I don't have to prove anything to anybody, you know? So,
right.
So that, I think, kind of piggybacking off of what you had said before about just kind of believing in yourself, you know,
mm-hmm.
treating yourself like the supreme damn god, goddess, whatever that you are. That's where all of that comes
yeah.
from. So,
and but here's the thing about you that I love, and I have to say this because I've seen some people out there that like immediately identify themselves as an amazing god or an incredible goddess. The fastest way to turn people off is to just pronounce yourself that way. I mean, self-belief is a beautiful, powerful thing, but if, you know, people usually have like an automatic negative reaction. I have seen, or I have witnessed this myself, that people
mm-hmm.
get turned off by people who just announce themselves as the complete and utter shit, like almost as though I'm better than everyone else. When people come across that way, it's insulting. And no one wants to deal with that kind of bullshit. So a little bit of humility when you're dealing – I mean, listen, I'm all for believing in yourself and thinking you're the shit to you. But just because I'm the shit to me doesn't mean that I am the shit to the rest of the world. And that's okay. That's going to have to be all right for me. But, you know, a little humility – I think people need to just remember some humility when they're dealing in public to give the other person space to be amazing.
You know, there's a time and a place for you to be confident and boast about your accolades, I think that there's definitely a time to do it. And I think, again, you know, everything's healthy in moderation. If that's all you do and you want to continuously dominate the conversation about how fabulous you are, you're not that fabulous, because people that are don't feel the need to talk about it.
Right.
It's like you go back to thinking about the stuff from like high school where it's like the cool kids don't call themselves cool, you know?
So, exactly. Right.
So that's one way to look at it too.
So true. There's just some folks out there that I've seen them, you know, kind of like start off the bat. It's like, I don't know you from a hole in the wall. And this has happened to me. Now, I have to say, it's not happened to me really with men as much, or people who identify as male, as much as it has with people who identify or have identified to me as female. I've had this happen a couple of times now over the years.
It's the complete opposite for me. It's always been more men who do it, in my opinion, or at least what I've experienced. But I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, it's the groups that we are connected with, and who knows? I don't know.
Maybe.
But.
I don't know. But the people I respect most in this world definitely have a healthy sense of self and are not to be pushed around or bullied at all. But, again, those people show you they're cool. They don't have to tell you they're cool. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? Like you just said, the cool kids don't have to say they're cool. So I just wanted to throw that out there, because there's just folks who feel like they have to announce their coolness. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's kind of like, sure, whatever you say, and I walk away. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, that's fine. Bye. You know, it doesn't really leave room for everybody in the room to be cool. I think everybody in the room can be cool together, but maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just you and me. I don't know. But so I wanted to talk to you about what else you're working on, because I know you. Oh, wait. Where did my caller go? Oh, my goodness, lovey. Call back in. I have lost you. What has happened? Michael Herkus. Paging Michael Herkus. Okay. So my guest seems to have disappeared, and I don't know where he went. Call back in, love. But anyway, my whole point was that, you know, you can be cool, you can be amazing to you, and be amazing to other people and let them see how cool you are. You don't need to tell them. But anyway, there he is. Hello, my love. You have returned to me. What happened?
I have no idea what happened. My phone completely shut off.
I don't either.
I'm not pressing any buttons. It completely went black, and it's fully charged. I don't know what the hell happened, but I don't know. A spirit came in and took it away and took me down.
All right, so now maybe this is a sign of we have to proceed with caution about what you're going to talk about now, because you're going to talk about the stuff that you're doing now, and I guess the universe is saying, don't give away anything that's too big of a secret.
That's a good point. Well, I mean, one of the things is I'll just tell you. I mean, we've talked about some of it before. I mean, so I finished my next book. It's the seventh book, and it will be coming out in December. And it's I'll share the subject matter. It's a book on meditation. So a witch's book on meditation. So kind of going a little bit backwards from some of the other books and trying to give a sense of a foundation of mastering mental magic is what I would call it.
Mm.
So I look forward to that one coming out. And then I've been plugging away right now. I have to have it turned in at the end of next month. My glamour book, finally. So finally. So my plan is for it to release on my birthday next April. So we'll see how that goes. And hopefully there will be no delays. Any more than it already has been.
Okay.
But I will say what I've liked about the delay. I mean, I started writing that book when it was COVID time, and when no one was going to, we were all thought we were going to die. Who was trying to get cute at that point? So
Hey.
It's been a long time coming, but the book has changed and shifted, and it's gone through multiple carnations or incarnations so far. And what it's finally coming out as is the most proud thing that I could have ever done. So it's really going to be, in my eyes, a reinvention of the glam witch. So, and the next level of what I plan to do. So.
Okay. So my brain is full of questions right now. Okay,
you can answer some, and then if I can't answer them, I will let you know. But there were some other things, and I decided now I'm not going to talk about them because the phone cut off.
Okay.
But go on.
Okay.
Question me up.
Well, this is amazing. So. Okay, first of all, I'm very excited about the meditation book because I have tried and I'm shit at it. I have a horrible time. My focus is for shit. I'm on medication now, which makes my focus. It's supposed to be helping. It's really fucking not. And I think that's just my incredible stress levels. So I'm looking forward to seeing how you wrote this because, you know, I've read books about this before, but, again, I really like your style, so... I'm thinking that yours is probably going to hit the spot. So that's awesome. But, okay, the glam book, the glamour book, I must know. Pictures, ideas, makeup, talk to me, baby.
The idea is that it's going to be a full-color photo book of my life as the glam witch. So it's... Yes, there's going to be a lot of writing. Yes, there's a lot of information that's being shared, but I'm really trying to make it a photographic essay more so than just say, here's another book on witchcraft.
Okay. Next question. No. I have to ask these things. So it's good. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be stunning. Okay. I'm just beside myself right now, and I had to pick my jaw up off the floor when you said that.
Thank you. Yeah,
so
I'm hoping that the goal is for me to do all of the photography later this year. So I'm still – I got to get it all written, turn that in at the end of the month, then it goes through editing, send out for endorsements, all of that stuff. And then I'll be – because it'll be back with Witch Way magazine, with who I did the Glam Witch with. And with that, I get about 90% of – creative control is one of the things that I feel very negative about, but also strong about is that these other books that I've been doing, I don't have any control on the visuals, and the visuals have hurt me and my brand. And there's been a lot of arguments and fighting with the publisher behind it. And I just can't keep doing that. And so I'm trying to reclaim not only my brand as a glam witch, but even just my own personal witchcraft in what I'm putting out there. I want to find home for more material that I'm putting out with a publisher who's going to allow me that creative control, because let's be real, aesthetics is a huge part of glamour. And I can't keep putting out books that do not connect with that, if that makes sense. So
yes.
That's just...
Okay, next question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I have so many. So in addition to this, I'm seeing coffee table book, full of beautiful, full color, really stunning, all kinds of great backdrops and things, all kinds of fabulous clothing, all kinds of fabulous hair and makeup. My next question is, are there going to be follow-up tutorials? Is there going to be a YouTube channel devoted to being glamorous, how to create glamour using witchcraft with your glamour or glamour with your witchcraft? Is there going to be a full media blitz incorporation of the glam witch, not only as a writer, not only as an icon, because I've told you a million times you're my icon, is there going to be a full-scale kind of like a Nikki tutorial, so to speak, of, you know, video and how to only with magic added?
So working on developing all of this, yes. My biggest plan is that I plan to do a pretty large and significant splashy book tour. So I'm trying to figure out the cities and the locations that I can do and fit into my schedule for next year right now. And then, of course, there's going to be, you know, the social media aspect of it. So I haven't figured out if it'll be like a YouTube video or if I finally give in and create a TikTok or something along those lines. But, yes, that will be it. I've kind of been known for churning out book after book, you know, a couple in a year. And my thought is that I want to spend pretty much all of next year really working on marketing this book. It's going to be my big baby. So, I mean, even thinking about The Glam Witch, The Glam Witch came out, and at that time I was like, I want to write a whole book on glamour. And Lilith was like, nope, we're going to write a book about me too. And so I was really confused, and I was like, well, which one do I start with? And I was like, let's combine it. And I know one of the complaints I've heard from people is that, oh, it's called The Glam Witch. I thought it was going to be a whole book on glamour. And you have a chapter, yes. And if you really think about it, like what I'm trying to teach you, that confidence, exuding that confidence and putting it out there, it is glamour magic. Mm-hmm. It is. But it's mm-hmm. a very specific kind of two. Like, I mean, the Glam Witch, that book was the documentation of my entire practice for the last 20 years. That's just what it was. So it had to come out that way. And then these other books kind of came because of opportunities that were coming up. And I kind of look at it as like, I don't know if anybody's like out there listening who like musicians and pay attention to how musicians do things. So it was like, think of like The Glam Witch as my first album. And then, you know, a musician that releases just a couple of singles. So then all of these other books came out and I look at them more as like little singles. And then this glamour book will officially be my second album, if you will. It's like the real passionate thing. So I'm just really excited about it. And then I have a vision and idea of where I want to take it from there with my writing. I'm getting a little too ahead of myself there, but I have a goal and I have a plan and I need to find the right home and publisher who can then carry and turn it into a series, if you will. So that's the idea. But I need to start it out with at least that creative control and really putting out what I want to. So it's like I said, I think you said it earlier today. It's like, it's about taking control of the narrative, redoing it all. So I'm just so excited for it. And I mean, nobody has to buy it. I'm sure, I hope people do, but I'm like, you know, I'm really doing this project for myself. And I think anyone who is and I even say in it in the introduction, I was just rereading it the other day. It's like, before I'm a witch, before I'm an author, I'm an artist. And so this is my art to the world. It's my love letter. Yeah. So I cannot wait for it to see how it comes together at this point. It's still being made, and it's going to change. It's going to continue to morph and turn into things. But I cannot wait for the final piece. And so, that's what I'm most excited about right now.
Well, I mean, you've laid down an amazing foundation, which is what you have to do for anything, whether it's makeup or a reputation or, you know, just steps to accomplishing your ultimate goal. There's all these things that we have to do. Yeah. It's like baking a cake. You know, you need all the ingredients, and they need to be
in the right proportion. Oh, I love how you're
right
describing
this
right now. Like it's going through my head. It's like if we look at it from a makeup perspective, and I'm the Glam Witch, so hello, that's the best way to do it.
Hello.
You know, the first book, the Glam Witch, was the primer that you put on your face, and all of these other ones were the foundation that then was put on.
Yep.
And now I finally can add the sparkle, doing the eyes, the colors, the highlighter, all of the extravagance that comes with it. And I'm just so happy to be at this point of the process.
I'm so excited. You have no idea. I have chills and tingles, and oh my gosh, I'm so excited because anyone who follows you has seen the gorgeousness, the beautiful outfits, the way you put things together, the way you put your face together is just incredible. And I, like, one of my dreams is to have you do my makeup or teach me how to do my makeup. I mean, seriously, because I think you're so incredible at it. It's like,
I always tell people with the makeup, I mean, a lot of it is just trial and error. Like, I don't think I know what I'm doing. I just do it until it looks good.
I don't know.
So, and then if it looks gross, I erase it. Like today, it took like 2 hours to do my face because the eyeshadow pigments kept falling onto my face. And I'm like, you know, a lot of makeup people will tell you, you know, start with the foundation, all of that. But what I've learned over the years is start with your eyes because then it's easier cleanup if you have any of the debris.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I didn't follow my own advice today. I went the other route. And it just was a waste of time and makeup. And makeup ain't cheap, honey. So, I'm just disappointed in that. But, I'm really excited. And so these next couple of weeks that I'm not working, I'll be full-time author and can hopefully
That's
turn out
awesome.
This book. So
I'm going to have to talk to you off air because I got these visions for you doing shit that you, I'm sure you've thought of them already, but oh my gosh. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get the book, especially the picture book. I'm sorry. I love visuals. I love color. I love glam.
Yeah.
I love all of it. It's, you know, I haven't been glamorous in a really fucking long time. I'm old. I'm tired. I work a full-time fucking job. I got shit going on in life. You know what I'm saying? So I love looking at beautiful things, you know, and looking at beautiful people. And I think you're a beautiful person. So it just all goes together.
Awesome.
And thank you. But I mean, the idea of you doing this finds so exciting, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I really think, you know, you've done the hard work behind it. And if you have the chance to go for your dream project, absolutely go for that dream project. I think that's brilliant, and I'm super excited for you. I mean, listen. We've been friends for a while now. I've seen you go through a lot of shit, and I've seen you come out on top, and I'm looking forward to more of that.
Well, hey, thank you. I appreciate that. But, you know, just a reminder for anybody else that's going out with some shit that's going on right now in their life, I always look at it like the moon card, and I always kind of read the moon card in a different way for any tarot readers that are out there. I always say look at the moon as a period of cycles and a period of darkness. And we all know that during the new moon, there's no, like, illumination that shines down. And it's dark and it's scary. But sooner or later, usually sooner, the light starts to show again. And it starts to get full. And you'll start to feel fabulous again. And you'll claw your way out of that abyss. But, like everything, cycles in life, you'll find another obstacle and you'll go through it again. So, but it's short-term obstacles, and that's how you come out of it. And I always go back to the moon card when it comes to that. So just to think about if you're going through a moment and it feels overwhelming, you can get through it. Just believe in yourself and take the necessary actions to get out of it.
That was awesome. Okay, we have a couple of minutes left. Go ahead and tell folks where they should find you if you'd like.
You can find me at www.theglamwitch.com, and it will link to my correct accounts to follow. But not only that, but on my website, you can also book services. So I do tarot readings. I'll do astrological readings. I can do a combination one, so 30 minutes of a reading, 30 minutes of a natal chart interpretation. I also do magical makeovers now. So if you want some advice on your magic and your makeovers and how to maybe do your makeup, how to style your hair, different things along those lines, you can book me through there as well. It also lists the upcoming events that I have. I will be a presenter at HexFest again next year, so next August. Check out HexFest.com. You get $100 off for the next month if you use the promo code, and I posted that on my Instagram so you can see that. Come, it's a fabulous, wonderful, wonderful time. And of course, if you wanted to purchase any of my books, please do so. There's The Glam Witch, which details my life as a practitioner of Lilith, The Complete Book of Moon Spells, so a whole book on moon magic. Then we have Witchcraft for Daily Self-Care, 90 days of self-care rituals so that you can incorporate that into your witchcraft. We have Love Spells for the Modern Witch, so a book on love spells from a very fun, modern perspective. Then we also have Moon Spells for Beginners, so a much more early introduction into spellcraft and moon rituals. And then now Astrology for Witches. which we talked about earlier today. So,
yes, we did.
That's wow. My spiel. Again, www.theglamwitch.com. It will link to all my books, where you can buy them, all that kind of stuff. If you want a signed copy, reach out to me. You can email me, and we can get that. We can arrange that for you, too.
I have a question.
Sure.
I have another question. So a magical makeover. So is that done through, is that a Zoom meeting? Is that a photograph?
Yeah.
How is that done?
It's a Zoom meeting, and so if you were to book it, we have some emails that we exchange back and forth, so I kind of get an understanding of how and what you want to do. So, for example, let's say you were someone who you wanted to bring love into your life. We can make it a whole hour conversation about different ways to do glamour from a love perspective, or you wanted a new job, how we can glamorize your career and all of that stuff. Or if you just really want very practical advice on how to do your hair and makeup, we can go over that with some special things thrown in about your, how you can incorporate magic into your beauty routines and stuff like that. We can also do, I have on there a couple of different extras. So we have like a Venus sign reading. So it's kind of looking at your natal Venus as well as your rising sign to see astrologically how you should incorporate glamour into your world, like what will be easiest for you. We can also do, if someone really, really wanted to have me create like a lookbook for them, where I'll kind of take some of your ideas and what it is that you want to do from a magical perspective too, and create a small little booklet of ideas for you for dressing yourself up. So that's like an extra add-on thing. But these are some of the different services that I'm offering at this point.
Wow. Michael, I love you. Thank you so much for coming on.
I love you too.
You are such a delight. I love talking to you.
Thank you.
You're always fun. You're one of my favorite people in the world. And thank you again. And we will set up your next visit very, very soon, like within moments.
Yes, fabulous. Can't wait. Perfect. Thank you so much again for having me. I always love coming on. You're also one of my favorite people. So whenever you want to chat, let's do it.
All right. Okay, my love. Have a great weekend. Talk soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. I will be back next week. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Try to get outside and enjoy some sunshine. Just be careful of monkeypox. And if you can get vaccinated, get vaccinated. Love you guys. Talk to you next week.